There we go. Sorry, guys. It's been one of those mornings here at church. If you have your Bibles, why don't you go and open up with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 4 through 9 this morning of Deuteronomy chapter 6. As you're opening up there, I just want to say what a joy it is to be back in the pulpit and back with the people here at First Baptist Church of Gadsden. What a joy it is to be among you. Whitney and I have returned this weekend from a trip out to the Pacific Northwest. We flew into Portland, Oregon a little over a week ago and spent a couple days there, just kind of on a little two-day vacation for us. And then from there, we drove to Lewiston, Idaho, up near the panhandle of Idaho, where I preached a revival, five sermons at Tammany View Baptist Church there in Lewiston. And we had a great time there. It was a wonderful revival, and we got to reconnect with some folks there for where I'd preached there before for revival, got to see friends. But it is good to be home. There's nothing like being home. So thank you for allowing me those opportunities to go away, to expand my ministry to other places. But also, it's always good to remember this is my ministry. This is where I love to be. This is where Whitney and I love to come home to. So what a joy it is to be here with you today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. If you have your Bibles open there, why don't you go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. Beginning in verse 4, as the words on this page are read, God Himself is speaking to you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and minds today to receive your word and to be changed by it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, because it's baby dedication day and because it's Mother's Day, today I want to preach to you on God's design for faithful parenting. I'll speak to you today on God's design for faithful parenting. You've heard this text before. I know Brother Woody's preached on this before, but it's always a good reminder to revisit God's first design, his original design for faithful parenting. What greater source of fun, difficulty, satisfaction, guilt, pride, fulfillment, regret, hilarity, growth, and joy is there than parenting? Being around children. It will lead you to all sorts of highs and lows, to spend significant amount of times with kids, whether you're their parent or not. They'll bring you to your knees before it's all over with. We look for the wrong things in parenting, and we find glorious things in parenting. We become idolaters at times in parenting, and we grow in humility in parenting. We fear in parenting, and we rejoice in parenting. We worry in parenting, and we laugh and are happy in parenting. There are such glories and such dangers in being a parent, in being a mother, in being a father. What should we do then? Anything that puts us in these sorts of balances, and by the way, almost anything in life that comes with such natural and intrinsic joy also comes with intrinsic danger toward many of the things I've mentioned already, especially toward idolatry. But what should we do as Christians to be faithful in this endeavor? I argue that the best way to do this is to look unto the Lord. God has given us instructions on parenting. Ought we not to look and hear and see what God has told us to do as parents? I want to focus on three basic ideals today. Three basic truths for the Christian parent. Three basic ideals for faithful Christian parenting. Some of y'all are like, I've seen your son today. And the last thing I'm going to do is take your advice. I agree. Don't take my advice. Hear the word of the Lord. I'm glad. We needed to re-up some of these truths in our own life. Three basic ideals for faithful Christian parenting. Here's the first. Faithful parents teach sound theology. Faithful parents teach sound theology. When I talk about theology, what I mean is truth about God or truth about the Bible. That word literally means the study of God. So it's come to mean a body of knowledge or a body of truth or that body of Christian doctrine. Those things we believe about God. Those things we believe about what the Scripture teaches. Faithful parents teach sound theology. This is said so succinctly here in this text, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. Open your ears to hear what needs to be said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Let's unpack this basic verse here. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Let me ask you a question about your Bible. Look at it there where it says the Lord. Is that written in all caps? You see that? It's a big capital L and then small caps, O-R-D. Raise your hand if that's in all caps. Can y'all see that in your Bibles? All right, good deal. When you see that in the Old Testament, when the Lord is written in all capital letters in the Old Testament, sometimes you'll find it written just conventionally, capital L-O-R-D with small O-R-D. That word, when it's just written conventionally and normally, means Adonai, which is just the traditional word for Lord in Hebrew. But when you see it written like this, it's representative of the name Yahweh, the personal name of God. When it's written like that, it's representing the name Yahweh. Now, the reason for that is that the ancient Israelites, the Hebrews, when they would translate the Bible, what they would do is they would sub in different vowels around the consonants in that word Yahweh, so that when they read the Scriptures out loud, they would know which word to sub in for the personal name of God because they were so careful not to take the Lord's name in vain. But that's the personal name Yahweh. The Lord, at least here, means Yahweh. Our God has given us His name. He's not some distant idea in the sky. He's not some impersonal monad off in the distance. God is the personal God who has revealed Himself in Scripture. You see, we know the personal name of God because our God is the God of the Bible. We received this knowledge of His name through the Scriptures, through the Bible. God has spoken to us through His Word. Therefore, if we just unpack the meaning of this word, the Lord, that's the first thing we need to recognize is our God is the God of the Bible. God's speaking is very connected to His name. His name, Yahweh, I am who I am. And throughout the Bible, we only know His name because He speaks it to us. It reminds us that our God is a God who reveals. He speaks to us. We must teach our children sound theology that our God is the God of the Bible. We must not fashion a God of our own making to teach our children, a God who is made in our own image. But we must teach our children that our God is the God of Scripture, the God who has revealed Himself to us. Doesn't that simple song that we all learned in childhood say it best? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What glorious truths we know because God has spoken to us, because our God is a God of revelation. He's a God who reveals Himself. Also, when we consider this word Lord, this word Yahweh, and God's personal name, it reminds us not only that our God is the God of the Bible, but it also reminds us that our God is the God of the covenants. Our God is a covenant-making God. God reminded Moses when he was making the covenant with Israel through Moses. He reminded Moses of his name. I am who I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them that the God of their fathers sent you. When God is telling Moses that he is the God of their fathers, what he's not saying is that Moses ought to pay careful attention to tradition. What he was saying is he ought to pay careful attention to those covenants which God had made with his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's reminding him of these covenants, that he is a covenant-making God. This reminds us then we ought to teach our kids about the covenant of God, that God's love is irrevocable, and that each and every covenant is fulfilled through the gospel. Now, when I say covenant, what I mean is the promises that God has made to his people. And all those promises are fulfilled through Jesus Christ. When we consider this personal name of God, Yahweh, it also reminds us that our God is a personal God. God speaks and shows in ways that we can understand. He gave us a name. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord our God, Yahweh Elohim, the Lord our God. Consider that second phrase, our God. Not only should we consider that the Lord means Yahweh, the very personal name of God, but we also ought to consider this phrase, our God. That means we serve no other God. This was a reminder. This is our God and there is no other God. That God has placed His eternal love on His people. And so we need to teach our children not only that He is Yahweh, that He is the God of the covenants and the God of the Bible, but that He is our God, that He loves us and cares for us. Third of all, it says the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is no other God but Yahweh. Idols don't exist. There is a unity in the Godhead. There is one God. There is unity in the Godhead. Now, if your kids are like my kids, the first question they're always going to ask, first questions they're ever going to ask are about the doctrine of the Trinity. Anybody else get any Trinity questions at home? I get them all the time. I get them here too. All kinds of questions about the Trinity. Now, if you were to just take this and look at this at face value, it may seem like there's some contradiction here, right? Between this verse, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and the teaching of the New Testament, or our doctrine of the Trinity that says that God is three in one. One essence or one unity in three persons. And we may start to think perhaps this is some sort of a contradiction. But I don't believe this contradicts the doctrine of the Trinity, but establishes instead one of its most important tenets. You see, what we never say when we say that God is triune, what we never say is that there are three gods. No, one of the most important tenets of the Trinity is the unity of God, is the reality that the Lord is one. And so God is united. The Godhead is united in their essence. They are one in essence. There is one God. And yet He is so glorious that His glories are such that He is also three persons, three distinct persons. We must teach our children sound theology. And you may look at me and say, goodness gracious, I don't know this stuff. That's okay. You can learn it as you teach it. You can learn it as you teach it. That's precisely the point that I'm making today. Every single person is a theologian. And people say, oh, I'm no theologian. But no, you are a theologian. Anyone with an opinion about God is a theologian. I guarantee you, you just go poll wherever you go to lunch today. Mama better not be cooking, okay? So y'all better take her somewhere good. Wherever you go to lunch today, whether it's your house or wherever else, or if you go out to eat, I bet you could go and poll everyone there. And I bet you could get some opinions on God. What do y'all think? If they're hesitant, start on politics first. That'll prime the pump. And then you'll be able to get some good religious opinions out of them, okay? Ask them what they think about God. Well, I think God, have you ever heard somebody say something like this? I would never serve a God who does this or does that. Everyone has opinions on God. Everyone thinks things about God. Everyone knows things about who God is and what God's like. So should we not stop and consider this reality that everyone's a theologian? And if everyone's a theologian, the point then should be we better be good ones. We better be ones that know who God is. We better be ones that are focused on the Scriptures. That's what I want you to know, is you and your children are theologians. I always joke with folks and tell them that kids are brilliant theologians, and it's fun to study church history when you have little kids at home. Because all the questions they ask are the same questions that the early church asked. They're just learning this stuff as they go. They're developing these things as time goes on. It's a lot of what was happening in the early church. A lot of these doctrines, they were just starting to kind of understand all the ramifications of these doctrines. And so kids ask some of the best questions about the deep things of God. Use that as an opportunity to learn. Not as a time to kind of say, oh, there's no answer for that, but to dig deep. And if you need resources for that, let me know. I can help you dig deep. Faithful parents teach sound theology. But second of all, faithful parents model love for the Lord. Faithful parents model love for the Lord. I can imagine that the devil does not care how much good stuff we teach our kids so long as we contradict it with our lives. You see, good theology is not good theology unless it's put into practice. And so we can have as much head knowledge of God, we can be squeaky clean in terms of our knowledge of the Scriptures and not apply it in our own hearts and lives. And what we can do is demonstrate a Christianity to our children that is Christless. That's Christless. Love the Lord your God. The devil doesn't care so long as all the good stuff stays in your skull and never affects your heart. Love the Lord your God, the Bible says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Brothers and sisters, this reality, this is something that only grace can give. This is something that only grace can give. This reality, this truth, this beauty is something that only grace can give. Our children will know if we are genuine. Our kids, my kids know if I'm genuine. If our love hits all of these categories, though, perhaps our children will recognize our love is genuine. Doesn't mean we do it perfectly all the time, but if they can see at some level that we're loving the Lord our God with our heart, with our soul, with our might. In other words, that Christianity is something that's holistic for us. That we genuinely love the Lord. I've heard so many horror stories from children whose parents thought they were being faithful to God, but really were just demonstrating a sort of unlove and bitterness to their children over the years. I've heard so many horror stories about fathers and mothers who required an external adherence to the law, but never truly loved the Lord, and the kind of damage it can wreak in a child's soul. You see, we must recognize that God can put the law on our hearts. Obedience is not mere grunt work. It's an obedience that's born out of love. Now, how easy is it just to choose to love? It's not an easy thing to do. It's something that's, it's a concept that's completely foreign to our society and culture. The idea of choosing to love someone is something that you just don't hear a lot about anymore. People choosing to love, opting for love, making a decision to love. In fact, the very language we use to describe love, falling in love, betrays kind of what we think about it psychologically. You see, you fall in holes, you don't fall in love. You choose to love people. You make a choice to love. Now, sometimes love seems to be something that happens, but along the way, we're making choices and decisions to love. And oftentimes, there are circumstances that lead us to choose to love. When those circumstances are gone, we must continue to choose to love. Here, the Bible says we should love the Lord our God. It ought to be something we feel in our hearts. We ought to have the law on our hearts. This is pointing us forward to the gospel, where God would write the law on the hearts of His people. That way our obedience is coming out of a love for God. Now listen, this is a difficult thing to balance as parents, isn't it? We struggle with this in our own household. How do we balance with little children who aren't yet Christians? They're not yet believers. They're little kids. How do I balance law and grace with little kids? How do we balance law and grace with our little children? How do we teach them God's law and yet not also not teach them legalism? And how do we teach them God's grace and that salvation comes by grace alone and yet not teach them lawlessness? It's such a balance we have to strike. But oftentimes the way we teach our children these things is by modeling it in our own hearts and lives, showing the way that we're free in Christ, and yet our joy leads us to obedience. So here are just a couple of practical ways. Lovingly, graciously demonstrate the way you enjoy coming to church. Demonstrate that. And listen, if there's ever a tough season in church, if there's ever a time in church where you're kind of struggling with it, don't drag your kids into it. Brothers and sisters, I've seen this happen. I've seen children be turned off to the church because their parents didn't have the maturity to shield them from their own criticism and difficulties. And that's not here, but I've seen this all over where parents in their immaturity, their spiritual immaturity, drug their kids into their own petty concerns and petty differences with things at church, and it hurt the children and it hurt their view of the church. I can tell my kids that I could jump over a mountain if I really tried and they would believe me. They would believe me, and y'all wouldn't. Y'all know better. First of all, nobody can do that, and if someone could, it would not be me. But you can convince your kids to believe anything. They believe what their parents tell them. And so we ought to be careful to demonstrate to our kids, we love coming here. It's a way to show the way that God has impacted our hearts to obey Him and coming to church. Another way to do this is not to begrudge Christian faithfulness in the home. To always talk about your faithfulness to Christ in terms of joy and love and how much you enjoy it. It starts to demonstrate to children the way that obedience to Christ is a path to joy. Okay, here's the third point this morning. Y'all are going to love this one. Faithful parents repeat themselves. Faithful parents repeat themselves. Some of y'all are going to call your kids as soon as you get in the car today. Told y'all. Preacher said, I'm supposed to repeat myself. You tell me I repeat myself all the time? That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Some of y'all might have the phone out right now texting them. Faithful parents repeat themselves. I'll explain later. How many of you can repeat a line you heard your parents say? I won't repeat the lines I've heard my parents say here this morning. My mom likes to post embarrassing pictures of me on Facebook. Today is my day of retribution. Here on Mother's Day 2017, I can share some of my mom's lines. But here's the reality. You know this as a pastor. Over time, I've got lines, I've got sayings, I've got things I say. They come out a lot because ultimately, we want you to know things. And if you want you to know something that's important, you say it a lot. Parents do this. They repeat things all the time. I find myself doing it all the time, repeating things. In fact, just the other day, I've learned, I tell Watsy all the time, just hang in there, everything's going to be okay. So I learned the other day, she said it to her teacher. She'd gotten upset with the class and turned the lights off a couple times, and that's kind of not normal. And Watsy walked up to her and tapped her on the shoulder and said, I can tell you're having a bad day, but just hang in there, everything's going to be all right. We repeat ourselves, right? We repeat ourselves constantly, and kids pick up on it. Well, here is something the Bible is showing us here in verses 7 through 9, that actually repeating the words of the Lord to our children is a sign of faithful parenting. You shall teach them diligently to your children. These words that God is giving to His people, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Take every opportunity you have to disciple your kids. See, this is where oftentimes we mess up, is we think that discipleship has to be a sort of formal program. Come on in here, kids. We're going to have little training you here at the dinner table tonight. Come on in here. We're going to read through Wayne Grudem together. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a dedicated time of family worship. There are lots of families that do that. I think it's important. I think it's a good way to build discipline. And yet, what I also think is so much more important than a disciplined, formal time of discipleship is taking every opportunity to disciple. Picking up hobbies and cultivating hobbies in your own children that you can do together that are opportunities for discipleship. Everybody in here is going to roll their eyes, but that's one reason I like to play golf. It's because one day I'm going to take my little boys with me to play golf. We're going to go play golf together, and it's in those moments I want to teach them things that perhaps we wouldn't have the opportunity to teach, to spend time like that together otherwise. It's important for us to cultivate things in our children, to repeat ourselves, teach them diligently. It says when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise. In other words, it ought to be built into the fabric of our lives that we are discipling our children. We are investing in them. We are teaching them what God has to say regularly. Then he goes, he shows the way that this is a poetic way then to show how we should build discipleship opportunities into our everyday lives. Now, what I'm not saying is every time a light changes red in town, you say, you know what else was red? The blood of Jesus Christ. And let me teach you the gospel. That's not exactly what I mean. But what I do mean, though, is taking every opportunity you have when the time is right to invest in your children, to teach them the gospel. Not only should we do that, take every opportunity to disciple, but I also say build the Bible into the warp and woof of life. Build the Bible into every facet and aspect of your life. Here the Bible says that they should put the scriptures between their eyes. They should put it as a sign on their hands. They should put it on their doorposts. They should put it at their gates. Now, many people historically have taken this very literally. They'll have little tubes on their doors that have copies of the law in them. And they'll wear these things called phylacteries on their forehead that have Bible verses in them, or on their wrists that have Bible verses in them. I don't necessarily think that we have to take this literally. In fact, I think what's more important here is that we say we are building in our lives a commitment to the Bible. Now, what this might mean is just saturating your home with Scripture. Things as simple as a post-it note with a Bible on the bathroom, with a Bible verse on the bathroom mirror, all the way up to art and decoration and artwork and things like that that have the Scriptures incorporated into them. Simply put, I think the most important way to fulfill this verse is to bring this stuff up a lot. When you see things, see them through the lens of the Bible. When you do things with your hands, do them according to the Scriptures. When you leave your house on your way out, remember the importance of the Scriptures. Bring the gospel up a lot. Bring God's expectations up a lot. Bring grace up a lot. Bring wisdom up a lot. Bring God up a lot. I think that's one way to kind of avoid the trap of legalism in your children is to talk to them about what's wise or not wise very, very often. We had dear friends who already had children when we didn't have children in seminary. They taught us about talking to your kids about wisdom. Do you think God would think that's wise? Because sometimes there are things we do that aren't sinful, but they're just not wise. And it's important to help our kids learn what wisdom is. Teach the Bible. Live it out. Love God. Love your kids. Repeat yourself. And trust that God is faithful. I think it's just a simple way, simple, basic, faithful Christian parenting. Teach the Bible. Live it out. Love God. Love your kids. Repeat yourself. And trust that God is faithful. Teach the Bible. Live it out. Love God. Love your kids. Repeat yourself. And trust that God is faithful. Bear in mind the ways that Jesus will use you to impact the lives of your children. I want to offer an invitation this morning. It's as simple as this. You may be an unbeliever here this morning who's never trusted Christ for the first time. Today, Jesus is faithful to save you if you would turn from your sins in repentance and turn to Christ in faith. He is faithful to save you through the blood of Jesus this morning. Second of all, you may be a believer and you may say, Pastor, I've just not been living this out like I should. You may be a grandparent Folks, this is good stuff for grandparents as well. This is a good thing to do when the kids are with you, and they will be, of course, you know, like my kids are with our grandparents a lot, their grandparents a lot. Take that time to live these things out as well, to model these things for your grandchildren. So you may want time to pray at the altar this morning. Take that time today. I'm also here to pray with you. Finally, you may be looking for a church home. I'd love to talk to you today about what it means for you to be a member here at First Baptist Church. After this prayer, I want to invite you to come. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the gospel of Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. And Lord, I pray today that you would guide us by your word. Lord, help us to be faithful parents who are good stewards of all that you've entrusted to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.